before their hashtags.
A dissection of pop culture past.
With Eric Dallinger.
And Carly Anna Billings.
Each week we hop in our time machine and take a look at the past of pop culture.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. My name is Eric Dallinger. I almost forgot my name there.
Oh my gosh.
Did you ever do that?
Dude, what's this podcast called?
I forget.
Something.
Before their hashtags.
Yes, it is.
And I am here with my amazing co-host.
Aw, I'm here with my amazing co-host who already said his name.
I'm here with my amazing co-host, Carly Roberto.
Oh my god, we love Carly Roberto.
No, just kidding.
Jokes. No, Carly, it's me. Billings. Ye old Carly.
We'll find out now if Carly Roberto actually listens.
Past guest and pal of the pod, I've shouted
people out. They usually write me.
And they're like,
and
hey.
And then when I don't shout, if they don't write me, I'm like, oh, like, I know you're not listening.
You're not a regular here. Well, hello to our regulars. Hello to our newbies. Hello to the people who just pop in.
Hello to Warsaw, Poland. We're so glad you're here.
Hello, Poland.
We say that because we had one listener in Poland on our first episode.
And it was
amazing.
And we've
never had Poland.
Yes,
but
hello, Poland.
But hello, Poland.
We know you're out there.
If you're listening.
Thank you.
One of the most LGBT unfriendly zones.
Oh, absolutely.
In the EU.
Yeah, true nightmare to also be a woman there, apparently. So, hello, Poland.
Hello, Poland, maybe. Well, if you're listening to our pod, you're probably of the resistance.
Yes,
but if you're not.
Yeah, if you manage to get here without being maybe, like-minded as we
maybe,
are.
Maybe like us and decide that you're cool with the gays.
We would love that. That sounds good.
Yeah.
As some ambassadors of the gay to you. Hello, Poland.
The whole LGBTQIA+.
Yeah.
Two? Is that...
Two-spirit? Yeah. There's so many.
There's so many. Yeah. But it's awesome.
Umbrella.
They're all awesome.
Yeah.
Umbrella term.
The queer community. Hello from us to you. If you can hear birds squawking, that's because we are in my backyard. We're in person, baby.
We're in person. We've been in person for the last few.
It's been wonderful. So nice to finally be together and, you know, have goodbye in real life.
Yeah. I feel like it flows better.
Yeah.
There's probably less editing.
It's so easy. There truly is less editing, but also it's just fun to get to hang out with you. You're one of my best freaking friends. It's nice to actually be in the same place.
And it's great to hang out with you. It's such a love fest. They're probably all gagging.
They're like, get over, get to the topics of the day. Get to the content.
Last week was so much fun with Celia.
Yeah, we loved having Celia on. That was really fun.
It's nice to squash the beef.
Yeah, finally no beef between me and you and Cecilia and me and Cecilia and Carly Roberto in there too. So it's nice to have no beef between the two podcasts that I co-host. But episode with you from Ghost River coming soon when we can make that happen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. Okay. Well, today we have a great topic for you. I'm going to spoil it a little bit early.
Yeah, we're going to give it a little preface here today.
So today we're talking about the iconic romantic drama, Dirty Dancing.
Yes, we are.
And the reason why we're talking about this is in honor of my beautiful mother who passed this past week on July 13th, 2021, I should say. And this was her favorite film, so we felt compelled to talk about it this week because she was a very special person to me, and I love her. I continue to love her dearly, and yeah, just wanted to honor her. Every night she would sleep with, here's a full story.
It's a great one.
It's cute.
It's so cute.
So for Christmas this year, I bought her this amazing blanket from Redbubble that has a picture of Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey, the cover of Dirty Dancing on it.
Like romantic,
but
like
also
moment.
Sort of an artistic interpretation
totally.
Of it.
Very cute, very cute.
Yes. And so every night in the hospice, she would sleep with this blanket on her, and she would make jokes to people that every single night she got to sleep with Patrick Swayze. And then we would, of course, be like, yes, and Jennifer Grey. And she'd be like, compromises.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
You gotta do what you gotta do. She was pretty witty.
Oh, your mom's such a lovely lady.
So she was a lovely lady. Mm-hmm. And a little cool thing I don't know if it's cool. I think it's like a sign that she's in a good place right now is that she passed 1 year after my grandmother passed. Mm-hmm. So my grandmother passed on July 13th, 2020, and my mom passed July 13th, 2021.
Yeah, a year to the day.
A year to the day. So amazing. We believe that she was greeting her into heaven.
Yeah, into, they're together.
They're together. So totally. This one's for you, Mom. I love ya. And I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful idea. Yeah, it's such an iconic movie, but especially special that it's your mom's favorite movie. And so I hope that we get to cover it. It's so nice to be able to cover it today, and I hope that we do it some justice. And that we get to think about your mom, because your mom's such a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she loves you so much.
Thank you, Carly. Love
her. And I love her because she loves you. Period.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've got to go. What's the saying?
We got to go back to the way back, baby. But to do that, you know what we got to do. We got to set the timer. We get to talk about current issues, current pop culture moments today for 5 minutes. So we can gas up our time machine to go back to the way back and talk about our beautiful topic of the day.
All right, here we go. Starting our conversation in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. Well, we've been talking about this to death, but we've got more news on the Free Britney movement.
We can't stop talking about it because it's topical, baby.
So, of course, Britney Spears, in her testimony, mentioned that she wanted to sue her family. And it's been very hard on her family, especially her dad.
Yes, which now, makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Jamie Lynn Spears, not to be confused with Jamie Spears, because right. They are different people.
Because it can be confusing because she has both her parents' names.
Yeah, Jamie Lynn is named after her father, Jamie, and her mother, Lynn.
And her name is Jamie Lynn.
Yeah, where did Britney come from?
At least she's got something different going on. Yeah, like, she's got something different.
What's her brother's name? I forget.
Some white boy name. It's very stupid from what I remember.
Of course. So, after this, Jamie Lynn went on Instagram Live and had a rant sort of about how she is not her family and that the only thing that she has dedicated herself to Britney is to be her sister.
Okay.
So we have to leave that in because Carly's mom brought us
brought us some snacks. So
you get some good ASMR of us chewing. So yeah, Jamie Lynn went on this huge like rant saying that she's only Britney's sister and that is the only role she plays in Britney's life.
She's not part of the family. No, she's not part of the problem, essentially.
Her family does not speak for her.
Yeah.
She's not part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But then Britney went on her IG and wrote in a lengthy statement that she wants to sue her family and that she's very upset at her family. And one of the things that she mentioned is she didn't appreciate when Jamie Lynn showed up at an award show and performed a remix cover of Britney's songs.
Yeah.
So I believe the performance she is talking about is the Radio Disney Music Awards, in which Britney wins the Icon Award. And of course, I believe it's Kelsey Ballerini, Hailee Steinfeld, Sophia Carson, and then it finishes with Jamie Lynn Spears all perform Britney songs. And if you watch this video, you can watch it. You can watch the performance. Britney does not look pleased throughout the whole video. She looks kind of uncomfortable. Jamie comes on and she kind of loosens up a little bit, but you can kind of tell it might be that she knows the camera's on her, so she's faking it a bit. She's with her sons and her mom, Lynn Spears. Britney not impressed with Jamie Lynn. Britney not impressed with Jamie. Britney not impressed with Lynn.
Britney not impressed with the fam.
So Jamie Lynn, you are not off the hook. Just so you know, you are a part of the problem. You could have spoken up. You could have advocated for your sister.
Yeah.
You are not off the hook, Jamie Lynn.
And as we've been talking, I think last week we mentioned that she's writing a book. And she's, like, using Britney as,
Britney
like, leverage. Lyrics. She's using Britney songs for the leverage for this book. I must confess. Like, it really sounds like this sister relationship is obviously strained.
It's not you and Kara.
No. It's not me and my sister who wants to hang out with me 24/7 and say hello. And I'm like, okay.
I love your sister.
I love my sister too. The one fault my sister has is that she loves me too much, maybe. But that's a good problem to have.
That's a good problem.
Yeah. So it's not like a, I'm sure that they love each other, but it's not like a, it's very clear that Jamie Lynn isn't going against the dynamic.
Family, yeah.
Yeah. Which is the problem up. Because yeah. her sister is in need of help, as she's clearly stated to the public finally. Right.
Yes, free Britney.
Free Britney.
In other news happening, Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani got married.
Yeah, they did. So they posted, I think, a picture this week of their wedding. But they got married, I think, about 2 weeks ago. So they've been married for, you know, a hot minute. But good for them. They're cute together. Remember in the first round of quarantine, I watched Gwen Stefani cut Blake Shelton's hair on Jimmy Fallon's show. And that was super weird. But I thought it was super funny.
Remember when he was sexiest man? People's sexiest man. And everybody was mad.
I forgot about that. My favorite Blake Shelton moment, while we're on the topic of Blake Shelton real quick, is when he was when he was on SNL and he sang The Wishing Boot.
The Wishing Boot.
The boot is you. Oh, it's my favorite thing in the world is The Wishing Boot. It's my favorite country song.
He's my favorite one in that song He's the one whose life is good, and then it's a fake wishing boot that pulls out a knife, and then the real wishing boot comes.
And saves him.
If you have not seen this, you're going to be so confused.
Yes, go to YouTube, watch it. It's on the SNL YouTube channel. It's a like a short, digital short song from like years ago at this point, but it's iconic to me.
Bail me out and bought me a new suit.
Yeah, A.D. Bryant, Kate McKinnon. Oh, it's great.
Oh, that's it.
But anyways, that's, there it is. That's the one. Oh, we even got an SNL plug in there. That's really fun.
We did get
an
SNL plug.
SNL, hire us. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we're back to the way back. We're in it to win it.
In it to win it.
Talking about the iconic film, the American romantic drama dance film, Dirty Dancing. So, it is a movie from 1987.
Yes, it was written by Eleanor Bergstein and produced by Linda Gottlieb and directed by Emil Ardolano, who I didn't know how to pronounce his name for the longest time and was calling him Emil Adordolano.
Oh my God, Emil Adordolano! I love your work!
Party!
Party, Danny Vito, I love your work.
Adordolino, I believe it is.
Yeah, I think it's
Adordolino.
It's Italian. We get it. It's a movie that stars...
Ardolino. Not Adordolino.
Not Adordolino. It stars... The movie, that is, stars Jennifer Grey as Frances Baby Houseman, a young gal who falls in love at a vacation resort with Johnny Castle, played by Patrick Swayze. Who is the dancer instructor at the...
Catskills! Yeah, so the film takes place at sort of an upper... Would it be upstate New York?
Sure, yeah, it's upstate New York. The Catskills is was a really big resort area from the 1920s through the 1980s. Super popular...
With Jewish people?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, absolutely. Because... the Jewish people go to the Catskills, and the not-Jewish people would go to...
The Shitskas? Is that it?
The Shitskas, yeah. They would go to...
The Goys?
Yes.
How
Goyish. They would go to...
The Hamptons.
The Hamptons, that's right.
Right.
So the Catskills, very, very fun. Watching this movie growing up, I'm just going to say off the bat, I love this movie. It's one of my favorites of all time. It's iconic for a reason. It's so cute, but growing up watching this movie and, like, dreaming about going to the Catskills, I've always wanted to go to the Catskills. I just think it's so... The idea that you go to a resort where they have everything you could want to do there.
It's summer camp for adults.
It sounds amazing. And you stay there for, like, a month, or you go up on the weekends and you get out of the city. Oh, it sounds amazing to me. It's my dream.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. The Catskills. Yes! Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, and the Catskills was also a place where a lot of stand-ups got their starts, because they would do sets and shows, because there was like big dining shows and all these kinds of things, comedy shows, which is why Marvelous Mrs. Maisel to go to the Catskills. It's such a good season when they're in the Catskills. Yeah, so that's where this movie takes place, yeah. In the Catskills.
So though let's talk about some of the...
filmed in the Catskills.
Oh, no, we'll get to
we'll
that.
We'll get to
let's talk later, though.
Let's
talk a bit about the pre-production.
Yes, let's. That sounds great.
So, screenwriter Eleanor Bergstein, she came up with this concept... Well, so what happened was she was working on a film called It's My Turn, and there was supposed to be this dirty dancing scene in it,
mm-hmm.
but it got cut because it just took too much time, and they just skipped right to the sex scene. And then she had a lunch with the producer, Linda Gottlieb, and she was telling her that she wanted to write a film about two sisters that went to the Catskills. Now, Eleanor, of course, grew up going to the Catskills.
Mm-hmm.
She was nicknamed, she was called Baby until she was 20.
Yeah.
And she loved to dirty dance in basements. So, of course, this movie is not based upon her life. It is just based upon elements of her life.
Right. It's inspired by certain elements, embellished and fictionalized in most ways.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So she went to lunch with Linda, and she was telling her about this movie, and Linda was like, this is not good. And then she was like, you know, I'd go to the Catskills, and we'd dirty dance. We'd go dirty dancing. And Linda went, that is a million-dollar title.
Yeah.
That's it.
Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing. And that's where sort of the combination of this story about the Catskills and two sisters, which would... There is a second sister in the movie, but she's not... It becomes about just the one sister.
Yeah, she's like a B character for sure.
Yeah, so...
Though I love her. She's one of my favorite characters in the movie. I'm not gonna lie. The movie almost didn't get made, though, Eric.
Yes, I did know this.
I know.
So, do you mind if I
go for it, yeah.
So... Linda Gottlieb, of course, she had a partnership deal with MGM.
Mm-hmm.
So, or a development deal. So,
totally.
It was like, the heads of the studio were like, this is it. This is going to be a great movie. The next day, the heads of the studio got fired.
Yeah. So, it just sat in limbo.
Sat in limbo.
Yeah. Was at the studio.
It was
doing nothing.
They wrote it off as a write-off on their taxes as a loss.
Yeah.
So they actually couldn't do anything. And the way it works is that the rights revert back to the producer. So Linda, of course...
And that was in 1985.
This was in 1985. Yes. And so Linda, of course, went to every studio in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them rejected
her.
Like,
no.
Like, nope.
No.
We don't want this movie.
We hate women. No.
Well, that's what she's... So, in this interview that I watched, which is, of course, on the Netflix documentary, not all our information comes from there. We're not just retelling you the Netflix documentary, but a lot of it is, a lot of the, all the sources line up.
Totally.
So, she talks about how, at the time, movies were really these, like, very macho, testosterone-driven films, because all the heads of the studio were male, so they wanted these big... gun-wielding films. So nobody...
Think Scarface. Think, like...
Red Dawn.
Yeah, Red Dawn, for example. Absolutely.
So, of course, the studio heads didn't want it. So it... The script got kind of thrown into this all these reject scripts. And, of course, that reject script made its way to a studio called Vestron Pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Vestron Pictures originally started out as a way for films to make it on to VHS.
Like direct-to-video.
Well, they were originally movies that were played in theaters, and the studios
would
sell them
then
to Vestron.
Then to Vestron, and Vestron would put them on.
But then the studios got found out how much money Vestron was making.
To be the middleman,
so they cut out the middleman and did their own distribution. So Vestron had to sort of reinvent and created their own made-for-VHS movies.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course... Dirty Dancing found itself in this script pile.
Yes.
Vestron, somebody at Vestron found it and they loved it. So they took it
I mean, as they should.
They took it to the heads and they had a pitch meeting in which the film's budget got cut in half.
Yes, because budgets, like, for this size of movie and of the time, typically around $12 million. The budget for this movie... $5 million. They made this fucking movie with $5 million.
They had to bring on a director, so they brought on director Emil Ardolino.
Adore Delano.
Yeah.
We know him. We love him.
He's just going to be forever known as Adore Delano on this pod. And he froze in the pitch meeting.
Oh. That's the worst. He froze that's in the worst time to freeze, baby.
Worst time to freeze.
That's the one thing you shouldn't do. That's my nightmare of nightmares, is to freeze in a pitch meeting.
But they believed in the script so much that mm-hmm. they still greenlit it, as yeah. long as it took less than $5 million.
Yeah, they're like, we'll make it, but you'll have no money, basically.
You have
because
no money.
You'd be surprised how not far $5 million goes when you're trying to make a movie.
Yes, of course.
So, the plot of the movie, just jumping in real quick, just to give a little... In case you haven't watched it, which I'm surprised you haven't watched it, go watch it. It takes place in the summer of 1963, where Baby and her fam go up to a resort in the Catskills, like we said, and the resort's called Kellerman's. Baby stumbles into the employees-only section one night and sees them all dirty dancing with one another. She gets, like, kind of a peek behind the curtain.
With the watermelons.
Yeah, she's carrying watermelons! Ugh, and that's the famous line, I carried a watermelon. Amazing. She dances with Johnny, who's the resort's dance instructor, and she's shook. Then, you know, events happen, things go on. The two eventually get close, essentially, as he teaches her to dance. For various reasons. He's kind of a bad boy. She's kind of a good girl. Her father, who's a doctor, doesn't like him, and she's a daddy's girl. He thinks that Johnny's a bad influence. There's a big end-of-season talent show. It's kind of the, like the last scene. It's huge. The iconic moments. And Johnny, who had gotten fired earlier in the movie for no real reason, returns and says his iconic line. You can't put baby in a corner. Obviously.
Which, spoiler alert, Patrick Swayze hated that line. His least favorite line. Yeah. He almost refused to say it.
It's pretty dumb, but it's also kind of epic. It's iconic. It's iconic. He kept a baby in a corner. He snatches her up. He scoops her up. They dance. They do the lift, the iconic lift. End of movie, essentially. So it's like, yeah, that's just, you know, the little Cliff Notes version of it. But it's a wild ride. It's a wild ride.
Also, I should mention Ardolino, the director.
Mm-hmm.
First time director. He had won an Oscar for a 23-minute documentary on dance.
Yeah.
On children's dance, but he had never directed a feature film before. This was his first time.
They just brought him onto the project.
So, let's talk about a bit of casting. So, when casting, Ardolino decided that he did not want to do what Flashdance did. He did not want stand-ins. Mm-hmm. If you watch Flashdance, there is one in the audition scene.
Which is like the other big dance movie of the decade.
Yeah, in the audition scene. When she does the breakdancing, it's a dude.
Yeah, it's a man.
It's a full-on man.
Yeah.
That's a little Flashdance fact.
A little Flashdance facts. Hashtag Flashdance facts. He really wanted it to be, I guess, for lack of a better term, more authentic, which, you know, is super admirable. He wanted dancers who could act, period. That's what he was working with, and that's who he was going to cast.
So, Eleanor's first choice, Bergstein. Eleanor's first was Jennifer Grey.
Yes. Iconic legend.
Yes. However, the studios wanted anything but Jennifer Grey. They wanted a blonde bombshell.
Because Jennifer Grey is the girl next door. That's her whole thing, right? She's like super cute, super adorable, like hot as hell, but she's girl next door type. She's not like Gidget. She's no Gidget, let's say.
Yeah.
I guess that's not a really good version. She's no Marilyn Monroe.
She's
not got that vibe. That's who they were hoping for.
A little bit more of a Barbara Streisand, almost.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's not fair.
More relatable. Yeah, more relatable. Also Jewish. Like, they wanted to highlight these aspects of the story, which were important.
Yeah.
But I guess the studio didn't necessarily care about, sometimes, those aspects. Mm-hmm. But the creators did.
But it... So... Other people that auditioned for this role include Sharon Stone.
Love Sharon Stone.
Yep. And the top two picks were, of course, Jennifer Grey, who eventually got the role.
Totally.
And SJP, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Right? Honestly, both would have been iconic. Different looks, different vibes. But if I'm being honest, I can't really imagine SJP in this role. Though I know she sings and dances. I've seen her do it.
You know what? She did fine in her career, so...
She did fine. She can't be upset. She can't be, They're like, I'm sure she's not worried about it.
And then they also were thinking... The first person offered the role of Johnny was, of course, Val Kilmer.
Mm-hmm.
He turned it down. And so they went with a chemistry test with Sarah Jessica Parker, Jennifer Grey, mm-hmm. Billy Zane.
Yeah, who was young. He was young at the time.
And, of course, Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
Now, Billy Zane, his dancing was awkward AF.
Yeah.
And he had no chemistry with Jennifer Grey.
Yeah.
However, Patrick Swayze killed it.
Good-ass dancer.
However, they had a hard time getting him into the room to do this audition because on his resume it said... no dancing.
Yes! And that was because he had injured his knee earlier. And so he trained with Joffrey.
The Joffrey. His mother's the premier dance teacher of Texas.
Yes, he's a fucking dancer. Yeah. Like, I mean, this man's strong. Have you seen this man? He's strong. He's a dancer. Period. But, yeah, he decided, he's like, no, I don't dance. But he read the script. He liked it. And... they convinced him to dance and to be cast opposite Jennifer Grey.
Well, here's the thing.
A choice.
Jennifer Grey begged them not to cast Patrick Swayze because they had worked previously in Red Dawn together and they famously did not get along.
They didn't get along. I pulled a couple quotes. First of all, they had an 8-year age gap. So they were just at different stages of life, I think.
Yeah.
But also the way that she described him is she said, he would do anything and I would be afraid to do everything, which I think is so perfect for these roles, which is like why it's their chemistry and their
it's perfect.
It goes so well is because they like clash so much, but it just works.
They had to have a talk. So Patrick Swayze was told to go talk to Jennifer Grey and they talked it out and cried and then came out of the room and said they would do the film together.
Yeah. So wild. Also, originally Johnny was written to be Italian, but when they cast Patrick Swayze, he was suddenly Irish because Patrick Swayze's not Italian at all.
No, doesn't look Italian.
Can't even pass, yeah. No. Could you imagine if Johnny was Italian? Wow. That would be a different movie for me. As someone who's Italian. I don't know why, but I'm just like, that would be something different. It's like Mambo Italiano or something.
Mm-hmm.
But we love it. An iconic pair, a great duo.
Can we talk about one other iconic actress in this film?
Oh, there's a few people, iconic people we need to talk about in this film. Baby.
My favorite is Kelly Bishop, who plays her mom. Yes!
Oh my god, we have to talk about the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kelly Bishop is, of course, most famous for playing Lorelai's mother and Rory Gilmore's grandmother in The Gilmore Girls.
Totally.
So... that's a little mention.
There's also a really good moment in the movie, though, as well. So when Baby dances in the final scene, her mother leans over to her father. The end scene where she does the lift, I talked about it earlier. In that scene, her mother leans over to her as they're dancing, and she goes to her father, and she goes, she gets that from me. Because it's a wink to the fact that she, Kelly Bishop, was also in the original cast of A Chorus Line on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Iconic. Come on.
That is iconic.
So cute.
That she had been a professional dancer.
Of course. She's like, she gets that from me. It's like, we see Kelly Bishop, we gotcha.
We gotcha. Kelly Bishop.
Can we talk about how there's also someone who's one of my favorite funny guys in this movie?
Oh, I know.
Wayne
exactly.
Knight. He's the social director
Newman.
In this movie. He's Newman from Seinfeld. But this was his first, like, real role.
Yeah,
in
this
something.
Was his first big thing.
Yeah. And I love him so much. Newman. He's in this freaking movie, which is amazing. I just love it so much. We also need to talk about how the fact that this was choreographed by the iconic...
Kenny Ortega.
Yes!
Kenny Ortega, most famous for choreographing... High School Musical.
For people like us, absolutely.
For people like us, yeah.
I mean, he also choreographed freaking Gene Kelly and like...
and Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson and literally everybody who's anybody. Kenny Ortega!
Yep.
Freaking the man, the real man. The man, Kenny Ortega, who also famously choreographed Miley Cyrus. Do you remember the movie that was... it was Miley Cyrus and the Jonas Brothers and they had a movie. And there was one moment in this...
like
when they toured, it was like a concert movie. Yeah. And it was the most iconic thing I've ever seen. They had...
two doors?
No.
And she goes into one door, and then she comes out the other, and it's a different person lip-singing to Miley.
That was amazing. But I mean, there was one moment where she had a mic on a stand, and she had to drop it and kick it back up. It was either her or Joe who had to do it. And I know they were both trying it. And it was the most iconic thing I've ever seen. And I've always wanted to try it ever since. But I have never. One day I will.
We love Kenny Ortega.
The Kenny Ortega move that I want to get is the kicking out the freaking microphone stand.
Kenny Ortega's best choreography's Bet on It from High School Musical 2.
Oh, the energy, the heart, the jumping. There's so much to it.
Back to our regular schedule program.
But real quick, Kenny Ortega, about Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze, he said that their tumultuous chemistry was human fireworks. So I think that perfectly sums it up.
It's true that, like, don't they say, like, the part that part of the brain that hates and the part of the brain that loves are right beside each other, mm-hmm. and they often get confused?
Totally. Which is, like, that's why their chemistry is so fiery. So, like,
yeah,
like, good. So, like, it makes a great movie.
We love it.
We love it.
Do we want to talk about where this movie was filmed?
Absolutely we do. So, like I mentioned earlier, it wasn't filmed in the Catskills because... Nope. In the 90s, a lot of the hundreds of resorts in the Catskills kind of fell out of, you know...
Style. But they were still in use.
Still in use, but a lot of them shuttered their doors in the 90s. There was, like, used to be, like, hundreds of resorts.
Yeah,
there's
but
still
this
resorts
is, this
in the Catskills.
This was in the 80s, of course, so they were still around.
Right. But they didn't film in the Catskills at any of those resorts.
So it would have been too expensive for them to buy out... In order to use, like, an actual Catskills resort, mm-hmm. they would have to buy out the entire Catskills for the summer,
right.
that whole resort. And that would be too expensive.
To do that.
And then they couldn't just use it after, like, the season was done, because the leaves would have started changing and it would no longer
look... It would
look...
be very obvious that it wasn't summer. And it's a summer movie.
So they went south mm-hmm. in order to film this movie.
They sure did. They filmed at Lake Lure, in North Carolina, and at Mountain Lake Hotel in Pembroke, Virginia.
Yes. So Lake Lure was it was actually a boys' camp, and that's where they filmed most of the, like, the workers, mm-hmm. the staff quarters were filmed
yes.
there. While
when she gets, like, the backstage pass,
yeah.
the real dirty dancing.
The Mountain Lake Hotel was used for where all the rich people mm-hmm. would be.
The fancy moments.
And they did this in the fall because they had to film it there because it was the perfect location, because if they went any further south, it would start to look tropical. We'd start getting
yes.
the Florida-looking landscapes.
And then it wouldn't look like the Catskills.
It wouldn't look like the Catskills.
Yeah.
But if they went too far north, the leaves would change too fast.
Full orange, because they filmed this in the full fall. Like,
yeah.
it was October, baby. Like, it wasn't, like, early.
Well, even still, they still had to often paint the leaves back to
yeah.
being green
mm-hmm.
because it was starting to look too much like fall.
Yeah.
And, of course, that iconic scene where they are lifting baby, where Patrick Swayze
yes.
is lifting baby up.
In the lake.
It was so
yes.
freezing cold that they were shivering, and it was, they couldn't look sexy, they couldn't look
no,
like they were having
fun.
They were just trying to get through it.
Jennifer Grey called it horrifically cold, and apparently the lake water dropped to about 40 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 4 degrees Celsius. And that's water. I remember when I competitively swam as a kid, the pool heater broke one day, and our coach was like, regular swimming was canceled for the day, but our coach was like, no, my kids will be fine. So we went, and it was like 60 degrees, and we were frozen, frigid. And I remember it to this day. So, like, for it to be 20 degrees colder than that, 4 degrees Celsius, I can't imagine.
Can't imagine.
It was so cold. Yeah. So filming conditions, again, it's a $5 million movie. We're a little bit shady.
Yeah, they're a little bit shady. Also, famously, they didn't call, the working title was not Dirty Dancing. It was called Dancing the Movie.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want these resorts believing that they were filming a porn.
Oh, no. Well, that's what the people who wrote I've Had the Time of My Life, the group that sang it, they originally thought they were writing and singing a song for, like, a weird porno.
Yeah.
Because they told them what it was called. And they had to, like, keep begging them. And then eventually they're like, I guess we'll do it. Turns out, freaking huge hit. And they ended up winning freaking Grammys and a Golden Globe.
And
the soundtrack went multi-platinum.
And an Oscar.
And the movie won an Oscar. And it was the first film to sell more than 1 million copies for home video.
So it's...
Friggin' frick.
Can we back it up? Because
yeah.
I have some good Kenny Ortega choreography facts
yes.
about this movie.
Let's do it.
So music was a huge deal in this movie.
Yeah.
Because they just couldn't get the rights to anything that they wanted, to the point where they were counting down the days they were filming. They did all the scenes in the rich people's place where there's not that much dancing, and then they went to where the staff quarters, and also all the dance scenes, like the beautiful hall, was also filmed at the same location of the staff quarters.
Right.
So all the dancing essentially was done in like the second one location. Bit.
Yeah.
So they had to choreograph often to click tracks, and there was talk that they were going to have to film all the dancing to click tracks and just eventually put in something. Music that worked to the tempos that they had eventually chosen.
A nightmare.
However, at the last minute, their music coordinator was able to get all the songs they originally wanted, and they were able to write a few new songs for the
movie. Yeah. Which is like, it's such a stacked soundtrack.
Oh,
it
for slaps. Sure.
I just listen to it just because it's good, you know? Not even because it's Dirty Dancing. Speaking of choreography and things, there's also, and shady business, Patrick Swayze, in the when they're like exploring and he's trying to teach her how to dance and things and balance and shit, there's a scene where he jumps on a log a bunch.
And he fell?
And he fell! He freaking fell!
This is one of the reasons why Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze didn't like each other.
Yeah.
So Jennifer Grey was, of course you said, famously a bit of a scaredy cat.
Totally
and
a scaredy
always
cat.
Wanted to use body doubles for big stunts. You can see in the car, her hair at one point is really fluffy and bouncy.
Yeah.
It's not her. It's a stunt
else.
Double.
Yeah.
And Patrick Swayze being the machismo Texas guy.
Dancer, strong, that's his thing.
But thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah. He was very serious,
was
too.
Very serious and got really upset with her for using body doubles.
But which also, let's be real. There's no shame in using a body double. That's their job.
That's literally
like,
their job.
If you don't feel safe, you shouldn't do it.
This
like,
is the reason.
Period.
This is the reason why they have body doubles. So, of course, Patrick Swayze has this famous scene where he jumps on a log that's over a river or like
It's like a little creek stream. Yeah.
And he fell and cost the film time and money.
Yes, because he hurt his knee.
Yeah.
Which again was why he originally said, I won't dance. But he hurt his freaking knee and had to go to the hospital and have it drained. Like, it's so wild. Like, I love Patrick Swayze. I love Jennifer Grey. I love everybody. But like, I'm a big believer in know your strengths and know yourself. And like, If it's something you can't do or shouldn't be doing, and there's someone else who could and should do it, why are they not doing it?
Yeah.
Like, that's the beauty of movie magic, baby. Like, yeah, I guess I do my own stunts. Like, that's cool and all.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, like, if that's your thing, you're a stunt person. But also, at what cost, you know?
Yeah.
As somebody who's I guess because I'm an actor, not a stunt person, I don't see the point in it. I'm like, there are people whose jobs that literally is. Let them do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
who've trained their whole life for that.
They train their whole life. That's their thing. Like, I just, the amount, well, the other thing too, this might be stupid, but like, when was the last time you heard a woman say, I got injured because I did my own stunts because I really wanted to do all of my own stunts? Like, very rarely. You know how many action people, men, I can freaking name off the top of my head? Probably 5.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise comes to mind. Like, you know? Like,
careful, don't get this Church of Scientology coming after you, Carly.
I don't know, Scientology's coming for me. Harrison Ford. Like, you know what I mean? There's so many men that just come to my brain.
Yeah.
And there's, like, the women, I'm like, I'm sure there are some, obviously, because it's hard to film stunts. It's dangerous. But there's nothing, you shouldn't be shamed for, you know, being a scaredy cat. I felt as a scaredy cat to my fellow scaredy cats. Don't be afraid to be afraid.
Yeah, don't be afraid to be afraid.
Yeah. But yeah,
another reason why they didn't like each other.
Mm-hmm. They shouldn't
film,
mesh.
There's this famous montage scene where he's teaching her how to dance. And she would always...
Yes! Oh, this is one of my favorites.
So, the director, Adore Delano.
Adore Delano!
Was... Ardolino, we know.
Yeah, we know. You get it. It's a bit.
Was genius because he kept the camera rolling as they would film this. She was famously had low blood sugar and she would giggle and laugh throughout the whole take, and one point asked, I'm really tired, can you get me a cheese tray? He could not stand this. So in this montage scene, when you see them when you see her giggle and him get frustrated with her.
And he's, like, standing behind. It's really, like, one of the, like, the specific moment where you really see the giggling is him standing behind her, her arm above his head, and he's, like, goes caressing his hand down her body.
And she giggles.
The choreo, and she just giggles and loses
it. And he gets so frustrated.
He's so pissed.
That is not baby.
It's not scripted. That's
and Johnny.
Not, no.
That is Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Swayze getting so mad at her.
Getting so mad at her.
Yeah. And it's so charming. It's such a charming scene. Because it's like, you like, they do such a beautiful thing where she channels how awkward and shy she is, and he channels how, like, obsessively, like, ready he is and, like, serious he is. And for some reason, these two characters just, like, it just works. It's beautiful. Like, it's so funny. That's one of my favorite little moments. It's one of everyone's favorite moments. It's iconic.
Can I give you a little fun fact about Cynthia Rhodes?
Yes. Oh,
so
absolutely.
Cynthia Rhodes, who played Penny Johnson, mm-hmm. who, of course, gets the abortion in the film.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler. You'll be fine. It's from the 80s.
The director was concerned that she was too pretty.
She's so pretty.
To deliver the pain. Yeah. And they were like, we don't believe you. We don't believe you're in pain, because she was so beautiful.
So pretty as she was in pain. Just fucked up. Like, and also, this movie was, like, heralded as kind of a champion of women's rights in that way, because and people who are pro choice, because it showed abortion in a sympathetic and empathetic light.
Yeah,
you know,
abortion
especially
rights,
in that period of time, because it's a period piece, you know, it is in the 60s.
Yeah,
even though it's
abortion rights advocates called it the gold standard for cinematic portrayals of abortion.
Totally. It's totally that. And I remember as a kid, I was like, oh dear, like, that's awful. In a, like, I can't believe women had to go through that way. Not a, like, she had an abortion way. I couldn't care less about that.
Not to get, like, super political, but if you're banning abortion, you don't ban abortion. You ban safe, clean abortions.
Period.
Yeah. They're going to happen no matter what, so we might as well make them safe and clean.
Absolutely. That's the thing. Like, people need access to health. And that's what this is an issue about.
And being pro-choice does not mean you are pro-abortion. That is a different
thing. Yeah. Also, nobody is pro-abortion. Nobody's like, that's a good idea, hooray. People don't make decisions like that lightly. People make decisions with clear minds and sound hearts, period.
Now, the film had a lot of corporate sponsorships.
Yes.
Including Clear Cell acne product, but they pulled out of the film when they discovered that there was an abortion scene in the movie.
They were like, no.
No. We're not touching that. Clear Cell, you missed your opportunity.
Clear Cell, it's an iconic movie, you dum-dums.
Now, shooting wrapped on October 27th, 1986, both on time and on budget.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah, they filmed this boy quick.
But
even not as quick as I could have, though, because of the delay.
But nobody from the team liked the rough cut, and Vestronics executives, Aaron Russo, said, burn the negatives and collect the insurance.
Oh, no. That's so upsetting. Can you imagine?
A lot of the original test audiences didn't catch that there was an abortion storyline in the film.
Oh, yeah.
That it wasn't made clear enough to them that was happening.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was a kid, it wasn't that clear. And then when I was a little bit of an older kid, I was like, oh. And then I was like, wow. One thing, I just take a quick like, rewind. Wee back to the iconic montage, the Hungry Eyes montage that we're talking about real quick. Kenny Ortega called that specific moment where they're giggling and he's mad and everything. Where she's giggling and he's mad. He called it one of the most delicate and honest moments of the film.
Yeah.
Which is, it is, because they're just being. Sorry, we can go back to. So the film premiered.
Really need a cheese tray.
The cheese tray. Iconic. The film premiered at the 1987 Cannes Film Fest, which I didn't know.
I didn't know that either.
I think is awesome. And the movie, which, again, cost $5 million to make, earned over $214 million worldwide. How fricked is that?
Yeah, that's pretty fricked.
I know.
And of course, won an Oscar for Best Original Song.
Sure
which
did.
We mentioned already. But yeah, this movie is iconic.
Totally iconic.
to go a little fast forward into the future, Jennifer Grey had an interview where she told, she discussed that she watched it with her daughter. Mm-hmm. Her daughter turned to her and said, "Mommy, you were so beautiful in this movie, but your face looks different."
Aww.
Because, of course, Jennifer Grey would go on to have rhinoplasty and change her nose. Which, I think her nose is iconic.
It is iconic. I know, it's so beautiful.
And her response was, "I know I was beautiful. I just didn't believe it."
Which is so sad.
Which is so sad.
We have to remember she was so young when she, you know, kind of blasted to fame. When she did things like Ferris Bueller. When she did this movie. When, you know, and like... And it just goes to show, like, people who other people perceive beautiful might not perceive themselves as beautiful.
Yeah.
And might feel as though they have things to change, you know? And it's teach their own, but, yeah. What a moment, an interesting moment to share with your child.
There were talks about doing a sequel.
Right.
And Patrick Swayze. So this is a little bit of, like, irony.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's irony. I don't know. Patrick Swayze refused to sign on to a sequel because he thought sequels were lame and dumb, and how are they going to do it?
Right.
So, it never happened until 2004 when the movie Dirty Dancing Havana Nights would come out.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's more of a prequel in the way that, in terms of the timeline, like, it takes place in the 50s.
Yeah.
But it has no connection to the original piece.
It's just about dancing.
However, in irony, Patrick Swayze's in it. He plays the dance teacher.
Oh, my God.
That's Havana Nights.
So dumb!
So
he really did do the sequel after all.
He ended up doing the sequel.
Wow.
It's
so funny. In a different way.
He can't play Johnny because, of course...
It's years later.
Johnny would be a child at the time of Havana Nights.
Uh-huh. And
the
he's
movie,
older instead of younger.
The movie, of course, famously did not do so well.
No.
Did not become a classic.
No. It's like the one that people don't talk about. It's like Grease 2.
It's like Mean Girls 2.
Exactly.
Anybody seen Mean Girls 2?
No, ma'am. Can't say that we have.
Yeah.
So, it was huge all over the world. In the UK, they even based a reality TV show on its name for dancers. There was also, though there wasn't a sequel to the movie, there was an 11-episode show spinoff.
What? I didn't know this.
Yeah, apparently there's an 11-show. Surprise! Show spinoff. Eastern Europe loves this movie. Apparently in Russia, they play it for women who come into women's shelters as part of the, getting them prepared to live there, I guess. They play it for them. I don't know.
That actually doesn't surprise me because I watch a lot of Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned from watching interviews with some of the pro dancers, a lot of the dancers on the show are Russian Jews.
Right.
So I've learned that in, like, Jewish Russian culture, ballroom dancing is, like, that is what you do.
That's the thing.
That is the thing. So it actually doesn't surprise me that this would be huge in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, that it relates to them in that way. Apparently also when the Berlin Wall fell, Eastern European kids wore Dirty Dancing shirts and, like, loved it. They were like, we want what the West has, and the West has Dirty Dancing.
We love
it. And so it was kind of like a liberation thing too, I think, which is freaking cool. The move that they brought up, the Dirty Dancing, the lift and everything, in the 2011 movie Crazy Stupid Love, which is one of my favorite little silly flicks.
Also, it does have a stage adaptation.
It totally is a stage adaptation.
It's not really a musical. They sing the songs live, but these characters don't break out into song.
No, it's kind of, it's.
And you know who I saw with it playing baby?
Ashley Leggett.
Me too.
Toronto. Sure did.
Ashley Leggett has made a lot of appearances on her
show. At least three episodes. Out of 14.
Is she the new Britney Spears?
Comes in
every week.
Like, we'll have to see, won't we?
Ashley Leggett, I love your work. Ashley Leggett, I'm your biggest fan. I love your work.
Danny DeVito, I love your work. Apparently also Mountain Lake Lodge, where they filmed Dirty Dancing famously, has Dirty Dancing themed weekends.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know the lakes dried up?
What?
The lakes dried up. It doesn't exist anymore.
I didn't know that. That's funny. Wow, the 40-degree lake is gone.
Yeah, you can go to the pavilion or the gazebo.
Right.
Where they look out on the lake and there's no lake
anymore. There's nothing to look at. Wow.
Wow.
How times change. Wow.
How times have changed.
Wow.
Does that bring us back to today?
It really might. That's Dirty Dancing, baby. It's so good. The dancing's amazing.
Everyone loved it.
Your mom loved it. And I think, like, the staying power of this movie might not be all the things I mentioned. It's mostly, like, the heart. It just has a lot of
heart. That's what Patrick Swayze said is what made the film, was the heart.
Yeah. It's so sweet. Yeah.
All right. Well, we made it back. So yes. Why don't we do our pop picks of the week?
Yes, let's. Do you want to go first, Eric?
Sure, I'll go first.
Cool.
So I recently watched an amazing YouTube video that I think you should all watch.
Ooh.
You just can type it in and it'll be the first thing that pops up. But it's a video of Paula Abdul teaching Janet Jackson choreography for her music video.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, Paula Abdul basically choreographed everything in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
She was the it choreographer, as well as being a singer herself.
As well as being Paula freaking Abdul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
It is two legends.
Yeah.
Working together.
Yeah.
Janet is amazing. Paula is amazing. Her dancers are amazing. It's just like a piece of pop culture history that I think everybody should go watch.
It is like a peek into the past that, like, we don't always get that, you know?
If you search
so cool.
Paula Abdul, Janet Jackson, it will probably be the first thing to pop up.
Yeah, it's easy to find.
Please go watch it. It is absolutely incredible. Miss Carly Billings.
Yes!
What are your pop picks?
Well, I have a couple pop picks this week. One of them we mentioned earlier, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, so good. Is it back?
Good. No, I don't want to get you too excited.
Oh, I was so excited for a second.
I just wanted to mention it because whenever I think Catskills, I think Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
And second season they go?
I think so, yeah.
Sorry, spoiler.
Sorry, spoiler. You'll be fine.
I'm just telling you the setting.
We all get it. The whole premise of the show is she's going to be a comedian.
Mitch Maisel.
Mitch Maisel. I'm Mrs. Maisel. Thank you and good night. Amazing. Queen. We love to see it. And so, yeah, it's one of my favorite shows. I just love it so much. It's arguably one of my favorite shows on TV right now. That and Dickinson are kind of my favorite TV shows on TV right now. My favorite TV show of all time, of course, is Parks and Rec. That's a little bit of my TV history. But one of my other favorite shows that I think of when I think of Dirty Dancing is the TV show New Girl, which I have to rewatch. I've watched it a couple times. It's one of my also favorites, with Zooey Deschanel and Damon Wayans Jr. and freaking everyone else.
Candace Moan.
It is a Moan is
famous
queen.
Famous for being a Much Music VJ.
Yes, of Much Music VJ fame, and then that, and then more, and it's so, so good.
I remember watching it being is that Hannah Simone? And then
totally
I saw
is.
It was Hannah Simone's name. I was like the Much Music VJ? So I had to check her Wikipedia. I was like,
it's
Hannah
her.
Simone. Famous for actress from New Girl and Much Music
and
VJ.
And also Much Music VJ. Yeah, it's because in New Girl, I think in either the first episode or one of the first few, I think it's the first episode. Yeah, Jess gets broken up with, who's the main character, Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah.
She gets broken up with, that's why she has to move in with all these new people, which are, you know, the four boys she lives with.
Coach.
The three boys she lives with.
not Winston.
Not Winston, that's right. Which is why we talked about last week on we talked about happy endings. It all ties together. But yeah, a new girl, she spends the whole, first day that she moved in with them, lying on the couch crying, watching Dirty Dancing. And she's watched it on repeat 87 times or something, and it makes me laugh every time, and it's so funny. And it always makes me think, whenever I think of this movie, I think of that, and it's a great show. If you haven't seen it, honestly, it's kind of underrated.
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus now.
And it's on Disney Plus now. Yeah, people have been rewatching it, so I've been seeing a lot of new memes coming up about it, and I'm so glad because I love it. It's always been one of my go-tos. It's very funny.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to this very special episode dedicated to my beautiful mother. My mother passed away at Carpenter Hospice. So if you have, $5, $10 to donate to a Carpenter Hospice, that would be absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. If not,
no worries.
It really
goes the mile.
It really does.
It really does.
Wonderful work there. Mm-hmm. My mom was given 4 weeks when she decided to go off a feeding tube. My mother lasted 8 weeks because of the wonderful care that Carpenter Hospice provided, as well as all her wonderful friends that came to visit her. Mm-hmm. So that is why my mother pulled through for so long.
That's beautiful. You got so much more time. Doubled the time you thought you would with your mom.
Exactly.
At the end, which is amazing.
So thank you so much for listening to this episode. We really appreciate it. Like, subscribe.
Yes.
Shout out to Poland. Hey, they love Dirty Dancing there.
They love Dirty Eastern Europe.
Eastern Europe.
It all comes back
Jacqueline
to
Jacqueline Janis. She's Polish.
Oh, my God. We love Jacqueline Janis. Yes. Well, thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.